it's quite incredible to us that they've got approval, because it really doesn't seem like the Department of Minerals is in the real world. We have climate change. We have report after report that says how we are suffering floods, how we are going to have droughts, all of these things, and yet we want to make the situation worse here. We also have thousands of families along that coastline who depend on the ocean for food and for livelihoods. And this approval is a slap in the face, because they're basically, it seems to me, saying we don't care. And their rationale is, well, yes, it would have a huge impact, but it's very unlikely. Really? How can we say that? So we are quite annoyed, but it's not the end of the road, because we still have time to appeal, and we would encourage everyone, just put your thoughts down. We don't, gas, oil is not the future. We know that. And in South Africa, we need to move away from that, and we need to stop these exploration things, because the stress and the trauma to local people every time there's another project approval or another project proposed, then everyone has to stand up and say, no, this is not the right time. It's not the right time. And we are already in court with two of these proposals, that projects that went all the way through, where the Department of Environment Affairs or the minister who's supposed to uphold our right for a constitution that's healthy doesn't seem to be doing their job. So we are pushing again, once again. You know, you were talking about SASA and the lack of capacity that needs money from government. So why is government putting money and proposing that we do these kinds of projects instead of readjusting and putting money into people?
Yeah, certainly some valid points there. Is this also going to be a case of another session in court? To me, it looks like somebody's going to be delivering papers sooner or later.
Yeah, well, at the moment, we're at the stage where we appeal, which means we look at the reasons, and that's what we're doing now, is looking at the reasons that the Department of Minerals and Petroleum gave, and then we are going to look and see whether we can, whether there's grounds for us to appeal. We think there is. We will then write that appeal to the Minister of Environment Affairs, and we will wait to see what they do with it. And if they say, no, it was fine, then we will have to look at their appeal decision and see if it fits with the law in South Africa. And if it doesn't fit with the law, then we will have grounds to go to court.
Who is the company responsible for the environmental impact assessment? Because in these scenarios, I find that's where the devil in the small print lies. It's the people who conduct these environmental impact assessment reports, and I'll put those in inverted commas, because sometimes their reports are not worth the paper they're written on when you go into their details.
So what we have is I don't know what you want to call it, a miss something or other, between these companies and their EIAs, the environmental impacts they're doing, and the purpose of an impact assessment. So we came from a mining world where the purpose of an environmental management plan, as it was called, is to just do the mitigation, to basically make it less worse. But an environmental impact assessment is supposed to be a tool to make a decision as to whether you should go anywhere near it, not just to make it less worse, but to say, should we do this at all, balancing up our future generations, climate change, economic negative impacts on livelihood, etc. That's what it's supposed to look at, and the impact on the ocean and all those things. And only then, when you have a decision that says, okay, we feel that this can go ahead, then you would put a management plan. But what we seem to have is an attitude which says this goes ahead, and in general, the mitigation is inadequate. So this is the wrong way around, in my view. Is an environmental impact assessment supposed to be a decision-making tool, not like a Band-Aid to patch up what damage happened? So that's, yeah. And of course, who pays for these consultants? The company that's doing the development, and this has been a flaw in our system for many years that we need to address.
Yeah, we need to have independent environmental impact reports, not ones where a company has had its, let's say, its nest somewhat feathered to provide the report. I'll put it that way. Yeah.
Yes, even if you look at the best case scenario, if you go to do, you get paid to do your report by the people who want the development. And even if you want to do the best you can and you're constantly telling people they can't do it, are they going to come back? No, they're going to go to the guy who says, of course you can do it. So the system is biased. It's incentivized the wrong way. And you're completely correct. We need an independent system.
A last question. Then, of course, there's this pressing scenario. The West Coast is being systematically hammered and raped. And, mm-hmm. I mean what mm-hmm. I say, because on the shoreline, you've got companies wanting to strip mine all the way from Calvinia to wherever up north. Then you've got people wanting to destroy the seabed. Like the West Cape, which has mm-hmm. one of the most fragile ecologies, is being absolutely hammered right now.
So again, every project comes with its own little EIA. And nobody says, but with all of these things, the cumulative effect is devastating. They all come with their own one and they say, well, it's not so bad. And then down the coast, 20 kilometers, oh, this one's just having this little impact. And, you know, so again, we need leadership, because the environmental department should be saying, whoa, 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 moratorium on the whole lot. And let's do a proper assessment where everybody can be sitting around the table and saying what is useful and what is not useful.
100%. Liz McDade, strategic leader at the Green Connection, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.